Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, kids and girls and boys. Welcome to the Mediums Insight Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation and Signs of Life Radio. We gather here every month to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on many topics related to the study of consciousness, the afterlife, spirituality, and anything else that might come up. My name's Roman Karpyshka. And I'm very excited to be your host because we get to welcome back Nancy Marlowe to the show. Nancy is a certified medium with the Winbridge Certified Research, Foundation. And after being a professional day trader for over 20 years, she was saved by an angel in a horrific car accident. And she was compelled to set aside her skeptical, analytical mind and begin an intense study of spirituality, metaphysics, and the paranormal. She became a professional medium and then left her job. Psychic as a child, she grew up sensing spirits and intuitively knowing things that other people just didn't know. She knew what others were thinking and what was going to happen. And even though she was only 8 years old, she realized, she realized that she wasn't like other people. Feeling like a misfit, she closed the door on her abilities for 40 years until she was forced by a car accident to accept what she had known as a child to be true, that we are loved beyond imaginations by others that we cannot see. She's the author of Let Your Soul Shine. And over the years, she has worked with so many different things as a medical intuitive, a psychic matchmaker, a psychic profiler for attorneys and corporations, a psychic detective, a forensic medium, helping doctors determine causes of death, a remote viewer. And she's found bodies of oil, gas, water, silver, platinum deposits. Wow, I should invite her to my yard, see if there's any gold in my backyard. I'll start digging tomorrow. Oh yes. The show is for educational purposes only, folks. Nancy is not going to be doing any readings tonight, but if you do have questions for our esteemed guest, please feel free to call 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. We welcome your calls, and we are commercial free as always. So having said all of that, Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. Are you safe and sound from Hurricane Debbie?
Yes, it was kind of touch and go today. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I could be connected and I would have power tonight. But luckily I do, and here we are. So it's great. All's good.
All is well. That's great. And last month's show actually had to get canceled because where our producer is in Texas, they had a some kind of weather thing. I forgot what it was exactly. Maybe it was tornadoes or whatever. But anyways, they had no power. So that's why last month you guys probably heard a repeat. But here we are back today. Sorry for the delay. We had some technical problems. But this show will go on for an hour. So we're going to go till about 10 after the hour. And your questions are welcome. So I was reading your profile introduction, I noticed you're like very, very busy with a lot of spiritual and psychic things. Do you still do that?
I do. I do a lot of work with corporations now. So, and I also do it privately, but I'm booked up for quite a while now. Although I do have a wait list.
You have a wait list, right? Okay. So, you know what was not in your bio is your website where people can get a hold of you and just ask if they want to get some private bookings with you.
So I have, well, I have it on my website that I'm booked up through 2025. But if they want to contact me, there is a button on my website that says contact Nancy. You just push that button and send, you know, you can send an email directly to me.
And what is your website? What is the?
Well, it's nancymarlowe.com.
Okay. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Okay. That's MARLOWE.com. And no space, no space between Nancy and Marlowe, correct?
No, no.
Okay, great. Well, I just wanted to get that out of the way, and we'll plug your website again at the end. Hopefully, I'll remember to do that.
Okay.
Okay. So, do you ever communicate? And these are questions that I just have off the top of my head, but I've got a bunch of questions that listeners have written in over time, and we can definitely go over that. To you know, they're fascinating topics of discussion. So. Sure. One of the questions I was curious about is, how does spirituality work with extraterrestrial stuff? Like, have you ever communicated with an extraterrestrial entity? If they exist, would their consciousness move into the afterlife after their death?
You know, when I pick up information from the other side, I pick it up from everybody. There are all kinds of other beings in another dimension that when I do meditate and do channeling, I pick them all up. I do know that there are extraterrestrials. There are ETs. I know they've been here before. On Earth, and I think they've left evidence of their existence here. We're just now becoming attuned to them. And I think our ancestors and people before us were more attuned and communicated directly with them. But yes, I do pick them up sometimes and see them. There's a higher order of beings other than extraterrestrials. And this higher order, they're not dead people or discarnates. I don't know who they are. It's a group of people.
Angels? Like angels?
That are very, very wise.
Would they be like angels? Would you consider them angels?
No, they're not angels, because I do see angels, and they have a different feeling that I sense around them. They do have a divine, holy feeling. It's such goodness that you feel protected and loved. And occasionally I see their wings. So, and I occasionally see them because I'm a clairvoyant. So, no, they're not angels. And when an angel comes around, I know it. They just have this definite energy or aura that they emit that's very divine and loving and holy and protective, and you know you're safe and you know you can trust them. No, this higher order of beings, they have told me they call themselves the others.
Okay.
They're almost like something you would see in Star Trek, where you see a group of beings sitting on a long table, or a group of judges, and you can ask anything. They know more than anybody.
Wow.
They're not old souls. They're not, you know, people that have died, you know, our relatives or anything.
Right.
They're
okay.
Just a very high order of beings who love us, and they're very wise.
Interesting. Do they act like spiritual guides at all? Like,
no, they act. They're of their own group, and they can
really of their own group. Okay,
they're their own group of people or beings, and the spirit guides are people that have lived before, or an animal that has been around, but. No, this group of people, I don't know where they're from or who they belong to, but they're very, very wise.
Well, you know what? If they answer any question, you should ask them where they're from next time you encounter them.
Right? And you got nothing to lose, idea. Right?
And while you're, While you're at it, ask for the lottery numbers.
Don't you know? That's good.
Hey, we got a caller on line one. We have somebody from California. I think her name is Tiffany or Tiffany. I'm not sure. It's an unusual name, but a very pretty name. So, Tiffany, let's get her on. And Tiffany, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Roman.
Nancy,
I had a question for you. I was reading about you, and I came across a term that I'm not familiar with, and it's a remote viewer. What does that mean?
Remote viewers are able to visualize any place, anywhere, okay? And they can tell you what's in that place, what it looks like. They can go anywhere. Okay, you go there with your mind and with your consciousness, and you can describe it and, you know, tell people what it looks like, what's going on there, who's there. You know, that's what a remote viewer is. It's been, Russia used it to train spies. They're very much into this. And I used it a lot when I was looking for dead bodies, okay? I did a lot of missing persons work, and I worked for a pathologist who had contacted me to help her identify what happened to people that she was doing autopsies on. She worked with the police. But anyway, wow. I did a lot of missing persons work. And I would go to that place and try to see what happened. Okay? So, anyway, you can do it. You can locate any place in the world and do it. I can see things in other places. Okay? Even beyond this dimension, you can see them.
You know what?
Can you
look
give
it
an
up
example
on Google?
Of that?
Huh?
Okay. Can you give an example about the other planes?
Other what?
Planes?
Planes of ravioli. Quiet. Sorry.
Are you calling me ravioli?
That's my dog's name.
Can I see other dimensions?
Like other planes?
You said you could, and I was wondering if you could give an example of when you saw something like that.
Let's see. Well, for instance, the beings that I was describing before, the beings who call themselves others, who are very wise. Yes, I can go where they are, and I can see them sitting behind a big table. I can do that. So that would be an example. I can see the afterlife, and I can tell you what the afterlife looks like. Okay, and there's different levels within the afterlife that souls attend to. So new souls go to a lower level than old souls. Okay.
That's what I was going to ask you. How do you determine like what level you might be on when you pass?
By the size of your afterlife car.
I don't know.
Really, I don't know that you can determine it yourself. I think that the kind of life that you live as a living human, old souls are very understanding. Living old souls that are living on Earth are very understanding people. They're very wise. They're kind and they're loving. And they just seem to understand and get people. They have a great deal of compassion and empathy. It's not to say they don't make mistakes or they don't get angry or act out sometime. They do, but they're wiser than most people. Okay? They seem to get it. okay? They get the overall big picture of things. Okay, they have a great deal of empathy for others. Many of them are healers in one way or another.
And Stephanie, whenever I hear of remote viewing, a movie comes to mind. There is a movie with the famous actor George Clooney's in it, and it's called Men Who Stare at Goats. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek and joking and stuff. But it's about the U.S. CIA program, because we did have a CIA program, like a secret program, where they had intuitives do a lot of remote viewing, even within our government. So if you see that movie, it's about that. It's kind of about that. It's
more of comedy. I never knew what it was about.
That's what it's about. So if you ever see that title on Netflix or whatever, go ahead, rent it. You'll like it.
You can Google it, too.
I have one more question.
Okay.
So my aunt has some raw psychic ability, and her birthday is coming up, and I wanted to gift her some kind of course or class or something to help her get more in touch with that side of herself. Do you have any recommendations?
Well, as you know, I'm a member. I'm a medium at Forever Family. All the mediums on there, every single one of them, has been tested, and they're all excellent. Yeah. And some of them offer classes, and they have books. And that's where I would go. I would try to book a reading with somebody on that list.
Yep. And there's also there's a lot of course material on the Forever Family Foundation site.
Yeah.
You can look up a lot of books. I can also recommend Victor Zammit. He's got a website. He's a lawyer, retired lawyer from Australia, who's really into spirituality. And he comes out with a report every Friday, which is incredible. And it's free. So it's you want a good present for your aunt, you hook her up with those Friday night emails that come from Australia from this guy, because every one of those emails is loaded with videos and everything to do with the spirituality and the afterlife. So that's Zammit, Victor Zammit. Okay. So look him up, Google him.
Okay.
And he's got a great site as well. Okay.
Awesome.
Almost Thanks, as guys. Good as Forever Family Foundation site.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was. That was an interesting call, and I'm glad that Stephanie, I'm not sure what her name is. I'm glad that she called, because she opened up a huge thing. I think you're the first medium that I've interviewed. Yeah, you are the first medium that can actually see the afterlife. I've read books by, what's her name, that Brown or whatever, who turned out to be, not everything she said she was. And it gave a description of the afterlife, but I would like to hear it from you, if possible. Like, let's say that you're an average Joe, you're an average person. Nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. I know that when you cross to the other side, there's there's like a life review, and you know yourself. You are the one that's going to be mostly judging yourself. So she asked, like, how do you know what level you're at? It's just, you're going to know when you cross over. That's what I've been told over and over. That's what all the information in the literature says, pretty much. But yeah, I'd like to hear what your take is on, and what you see when you see the afterlife for, like, for an average person.
For an average person?
Yeah,
well, it depends on where you're at and your enlightenment, what you have learned in one of your many lives, because we do have many lives. And so it learns, it's like Earth is a school, and each life is a grade. And you have enough lives and enough grades and enough lessons to where you progress up the ladder of learning until you no longer have to come back. So as a human. So it depends on what grade you're at when you pass over. You might have a whole lot to learn after you pass over. And you learn that in the afterlife. You actually go to classes, okay? And you learn before they let you come back into another body, okay? You know what you did? See what you did in this life? And you know what you need to learn. And you actually go to different classes. There's a great hall of learning that I've seen. And it looks like a Roman temple or a temple in Athens. And it's got the columns and it's got the people in the white garments. And they're old, they're guides and they're teachers on the other side. Now, some people who've had a really hard time in life, maybe they're addicts one way or another. Maybe they've been depressed. Maybe they're a suicide. When they pass over, they really need a lot of help from those on the other side to help comfort them and to teach them and to be with them. And they're not ready to progress up to a higher level on the other side.
Right.
They need to be in that area of comfort and learning.
So, the level you're describing, is that like an intermediate level, like what you see when you said you saw the, you know, the pillars and the columns and people wearing white robes? Is that kind of like
that is very high level? They have a huge library there. I might be seeing what people call the Akashic records. I don't know, but I have seen a huge library there filled with information, all the information of the universe, all the universes.
Now,
of civilizations, of everything.
In these schools, is everybody kind of like in human form, kind of like humanoid, or are there entities that are different shape from other planets?
When I see that, sometimes they're in human form. Most often, it's like you're seeing and sensing the being, the soul itself. And I see those as light. Okay, individual light that are filled with knowledge, okay, and knowingness. And so if you run into somebody on the other side that you've known before, you will recognize them. You will sense them.
Okay? Just from knowing, not necessarily physically, but of who they really are, their soul.
Yes. You'll sense it and you'll be able to communicate with them through your, you know, telepathically, you'll be able to communicate with them. So, if you're an addict or a suicide, or you've had a terrible time in life, or you're depressed, you'll be in a different group than someone who was, I don't know, not having those issues. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were a terrible person, a murderer, you know, an evil person, you're certainly not going to be in any one of those other levels. You're going to really be on the low level, okay?
Have you seen any of these low levels? Because that's probably where I'm headed. I'm kidding.
Well, you're not a murderer.
No, I'm not a murderer, no.
No. No, the people, really evil people that have done horrific things to other humans and made the world bad, you know, worse off than it is, are separate, and they go to a different area.
But they can eventually graduate from there as well, right? As the
attorney. Yeah, sometimes it takes a long, long time because, you know, humans and human souls and people can be very stubborn.
Yeah, well,
so. That's why we have to come back and get reborn over and over.
Yeah. I've heard different schools of thought on that about reincarnation. I tend to believe it because there's some books that used to belong part of the Bible that were removed because of the reincarnation aspect of it. And I think back then they wanted to control the masses and telling them that more than one chance does not control them. You know, it's. Anyways, that's politics from back to the Roman times or whatever. I kind of lost my train of thought, but I'm thinking of like in the afterlife, when you cross over, are the people that you love going to be there waiting for you? Like, how does it typically work?
Yes, and oftentimes, 99% of the time, for instance, if you have a lingering death, you're in hospice, and or it takes you a few days to die, that person will be in the room with you. Okay, your loved one will be with you there. I have done a lot of readings where people will call me and ask me how their loved one's doing that's in the hospital and if they're going to make it, and I will see the loved one in the room with them. Okay. Sometimes they pull up that chair that's sitting there. Mm-hmm. They just sit there and wait, or they stand in the corner, or they'll stand behind the bed. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes they hold their hands. Okay. And many times people who are dying will say, they might even say it a day or two before they die. They'll say, "Oh, John's here. Oh, there's my husband. Oh, hi, honey. Hi, mama." They'll talk to them. That's very common, and they are there. They come and get them, okay? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you somebody else that's that's on the other side waiting for you to cross and will greet you, and that's your beloved pet.
Okay. Or your pets, right? If you had.
Yeah. You know, they will run toward you. They'll be so happy to see you. Okay. So
this brings up, I remember what I wanted to ask before. We have been in humanoid form on this planet for, I don't know, a couple of 100,000 years, maybe, you know, as we evolved from, you know, the Cro-Magnon man or whatever they want to call them, and, you know, the different stages and Neanderthals and all that, and we evolved into the humans. I mean, that's just the scientific view, the Darwinist view, I guess, as opposed to the religious view, which is, you know, Adam and Eve were the first ones, and God took Adam's rib and made Eve and all of that. This is not a religious show or anything like that, but what happens, like, what do you think was there before humans were there? Like, was this always there? Is this kind of an evolution on the other side as well? Because the humanoid forms were not in existence before humans were in existence on this earth. You know, like, let's say when the dinosaurs were here, was there an afterworld back then? Like, what is your take on that?
Yes, we existed, or souls existed, on the other side before this planet was inhabited by humans. Yes, I can look now, as I talk to you clairvoyantly, and see planet Earth, and it's empty. Okay, and so I don't know at what time period, or mm-hmm. you know, I have no idea, but I can see that the souls could view the Earth and say, "Oh, it may be like you and I were talking about. Oh, look at that! Isn't that beautiful? You know, one day we're going to have to go there and check it out. One day we're going to be there." Okay, so yes, we lived as souls before the Earth was inhabited by humans. Mm-hmm. Now, where our souls came from, they came from, in my opinion, a creator greater than us. Okay, so I don't know, without going into religion or anything else, I know that there is a greater creator that loves us and protects us. Sort of the pastor of it all, but that's all I understand. I don't understand everything myself.
Yeah, I heard a really good explanation that kind of resonated with me, is that the creator, God, also known as God, in all of this, brilliance, because he's omni-brilliant and omni-everything, decided to split his consciousness into infinite consciousnesses so that he gets a better picture of everything. You know what I mean? And that's what we are. We're the infinite consciousnesses, or, you know, maybe there's life on other planets as well where they're going through the same thing, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting concept. I know, and from all the readings I've done and from what I pick up when I channel and everything, I know that our mission on Earth is to learn how to love one another, to be an expression of the Creator, which the Creator is pure love, pure unconditional love. And so we're here living this life to learn to be more like the Creator, which is to love one another and to love everything and to be a messenger of peace.
Yeah,
that's why we're here. And so and that's why we go back and go to heaven or go to the other side. And
yeah, I remember seven levels. One of the books I read says there's seven levels of, you know, and one's called Summerland and the other one, you know, like the medium level is like Summerland. That's where most people go. And there's higher levels than that. And the seventh level is the highest level. Summerland being like four, I think, like right in the middle. That's just one, you know,
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I see all these different levels. I've never counted them.
Yeah.
And I know that you have to be at a certain level of understanding and wisdom.
Yep. Yep.
You have to be healed also from the traumas of being a live human person. Because like I said, a lot of people who pass have had an unfortunate episode, or they've been addicted, or they've had a suicide or something like that. So they have to overcome those things. It helps to overcome those things. Okay.
Do you believe that, like, people that are, let's say, severely handicapped people, for example, that are in wheelchairs, quadriplegics, for example, are very old souls that have come here to help other people learn, you know, how to take care of people, you know, that kind of thing? You think that's kind of the
you know what? That is so hard to look at that when you see a person who has suffered an unfortunate disease or handicap or something like that in life. I don't know that they're old souls. Some people in some books and some things that I've read have said that it's kind of you need to learn a lesson. Maybe in the life before this life, you didn't identify or you weren't compassionate toward people who were disabled. And so you yourself are reborn as a disabled person because your soul needs to learn to identify with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't know. That's a harsh thing to accept if you have a child that's handicapped. Oh, my goodness, they're paying a debt or karma because of their past life. That's hard to accept. So I don't have an explanation for that.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that everybody is supposed to be kind to one another and love one another and to be more like God as best they can.
And eventually, as we reach those goals, we no longer have to incarnate, correct?
No, we don't. We don't have to reincarnate. And a lot of those people become guides.
Yeah,
okay. But they don't come back.
But we becoming an incarnate or becoming carnate, is that a choice that we make on the other side? Or let's say we haven't finished with our lessons. How long do we stay on the other side before we're forced to come back for more, you know, lessons from the real, not the real world, but the physical world?
You have to learn over there. If you don't learn, you're not coming back. So not until you're ready to progress to another body do you get to come back. You could be over there a long time before you come back. Okay? So it just depends on the individual and what they need to learn while they're over there.
How do they do time on the other side? I mean, it's not physical.
They don't feel time. Time doesn't mean anything to them. Okay, so not like we do over here. And I'll tell you, when I'm doing readings, people will say, well, when's this going to happen or when's that's going to happen? I might be able to give you a general, but it's very hard for me to pinpoint exact time.
Because I can't give you that information because they don't have a concept of time, really.
Really, they don't on the other side, no. They don't. It's just like, or I can't feel it when I'm over there. When I'm doing readings or when I meditate, sometimes I love to go over there and be there. You know, I can be sitting in this chair with my eyes closed and relaxed and meditating,
yep.
And my body's here, but Nancy Sue's on the other side.
I hear you.
Yes. So, you can't feel time over there.
That's really very interesting that you know, a millennia can be a blink of an eye over there. A millennia here,
mm-hmm. an eye. It over can. There. It really can. So,
I'm wondering if they can travel in time. You know, like see things on Earth at a different time. If they needed to, you know, reference something or go back to strengthen their lesson on something. You know, I don't know.
They can. They can do that, and I can do that. So I can go back in time and see what it looks like.
Are you able to, the problem with it's getting much better, especially with social media and everything and the ability to communicate digitally and all of that, which is what we're doing right here, right now, and having websites and this and that. So this whole information about the afterlife and about mediums, I mean, before this, the only thing that existed were like books. And your odd TV program, just out of sheer fascination, you know, they'll put a special on that or whatever. My point is that right now it's still anecdotal. A lot of the evidence, you know, they do double blind, triple blind experiments. You know, you've seen it yourself at the Winbridge Institute, where there's no way that you can pass without being the real thing. However, mainstream science, okay, is still saying if I can't see it, I can't touch it, I can't shove it under the microscope, then it doesn't exist. And that
yes.
That's why mainstream science gets all the money and, you know, for research purposes and this and that. I'm planting a bug in your ear. I don't even know if it's possible. This is just grumpy old man me talking. Next time you talk to those guides, you can find out a way that they can help us develop something scientific to bring this to the forefront, that science will accept it, you know. I don't know, maybe I've had this conversation with myself so many times, and maybe the spiritual guys are saying that that's not really a solution, because if we know, you know, as a fact, as a 100% definite fact, the whole world knows that you die, it's like resetting. It's a reset button, you know, then I think people might be more prone to committing suicide, knowing that they're resetting the game. You know, they're just resetting a game.
Well,
what's your take on all of that?
Gosh. Well, it's got several questions within it. And, mm-hmm. I guess, well, we'll start with the last one as far as resetting the date, and committing suicide. When you do that, when you die, the first thing just about that happens to those poor people, mm-hmm. and people who take that step, they are in so much pain that it's the most unbearable pain there is. But they don't realize a lot of times what happens to the people they leave behind.
Well, yeah.
And I do the readings for those people that come to find out why that happened. If they're at fault and they feel guilty and all that stuff. And so when you do that and you cross over, the first thing you see is the people you loved that you've left behind that are grieving. And it just tears them up. Okay, they just, it's something that they think, oh my God, look what I've done to them.
Yep.
And then they might see what would have happened if they would have stayed here and what kind of life that they missed out on because they didn't stay a little longer or they didn't go get help or they took that choice. Right. And so it's really a difficult thing to go through. It's almost like a rehab thing that they have to go through. Mm-hmm. And it's very emotional for them. So so that's that. And then what's the other part of the question that you asked that led up to that?
My thing was about, you know, talking to those, the others, maybe, and maybe in all their wisdom, they might know something that we don't, because we're just human. And, you know, everything that we've come up with was through blood, sweat, and tears and hard work and hard thinking, you know, over the millennia that we've been living here. The guys, but the others, do they know something like that can help us make this more mainstream, like not just make it anecdotal, and no matter what the proof, like some way for us to come up with hard scientific fact. I mean, the only thing that I can think of right now is the double slit experiment that proves that consciousness dictates reality and not the other way around. And I've spoken about it many times on this show, but for you listeners, just go into YouTube. There's a cartoon of that. It's called the Double Slit, S-L-I-T, experiment. And it's quite fascinating. It's about a 5-minute YouTube video. It'll be very fascinating for you to watch. And it answers the question, if a tree falls in the forest, nobody there to hear it, does it make a noise? The answer is no, it doesn't, because there's nobody there to observe it. According to quantum physics, that is the answer. And that was the birth of quantum physics, is the double slit experiment.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that cool?
And yes, it is cool.
That's all we have at this point. And, you know, just to let you know, Nancy, it has to do with light waves. A light can be a particle and a wave at the same time. And this experiment, they want to try to fool it. And based on the way that the light pattern reflects on the screen, whether it's observed or not, sometimes it's like a wave pattern, fraction. That means it hit the screen as not a particle, but a wave, a potential. But when it's been observed by somebody, if the experiment is being observed, that potential wave from the light collapses into a light particle and hits the second screen, or hits the screen and you only see one dot instead of that, you know, frizzy line kind of thing. And they've done experiments where time-based, where, okay, it's going to be observed guaranteed on this time. What's going to happen? Is it, you know, time does not fool it either. You know what I mean? It's really cool. So, so it wasn't more of a question, but, well, it was a question. Can you talk to your friends there on the other side and give us some help to make this, this thing called spirituality a little bit more scientific?
So, they're getting there. What you're describing about the light and influencing the light, by focusing on something is, you know, using, that's doable. And they've done that with even prayer. They've taken a virus and put it in a petri dish, a virus that would, you could call it a COVID virus or any kind of virus you want to, that's making somebody sick. You can put it in a dish and pray over it, and it will kill that virus. It will get rid of it. Okay.
Yeah, so they've done stuff, you know, like that.
They've done experiments like that work. Yeah. And then also the light that you're talking about on the screen moving. We have light. God is light, pure energy, pure light, the most brilliant light you ever saw. Mm-hmm. And that light is within every human body that is. Okay, if you took a human being and isolated them in a piece of lead, and you were able to look inside that capsule, you would see light emitting from the body that was in there. Okay, so we're all part of that. Yeah. As far as evidence and proving it, I tell you, when I do, this is a simple thing that I do. Okay. How do people know that what I'm telling them, when they come and I say, I want to talk to my loved one, I can say, oh, well, I see a man with blonde hair and green eyes, and he's 5'11", and he smokes a pipe, and I can do all this describing. Oh, and he's an engineer, and he, you know, and I can describe all these things. But if I just say, yes, and he wants you to continue to write him poems and come see him at the graveyard and put flowers on there. And he wants to tell you he thanks you for coming to visit him to put flowers there. Mm-hmm. And he also said he had so much fun going fishing with you when you were children. Okay? How do I know that? Where's that coming from? That's evidence. I mean, I could, you know, if it were somebody famous, I could look him up on the internet, tell you, he's got green eyes, he's got blonde hair, he's 5'11", he was an engineer.
Yep.
But that's how, and that's evidence. That information is coming from somewhere, okay?
Yep. No, I mean, that's amazing information. And
I can also give you another example. When I was looking for dead bodies, dead people get really angry when somebody kills them. Okay?
Really?
And not only are they angry, they want their bodies to be found and they don't want their loved ones to grieve. Dead people will come and show me where they're at. They will show me what happened to them. And I can describe it and the police can go over there and find the murderer or find the body.
Right, right. No, that's more than chance, obviously. You know,
I've also done readings on people. The woman that wrote me, she wrote me a letter and said, please work with me. She's a pathologist.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was able to tell her how somebody died that she was doing an autopsy on. And she happened to mention it to the person who had died. She mentioned it to their relatives that were left over. And they went, oh, my God. And anyway, that case turned out to be the woman died on the operating table about 10 minutes after she was put to sleep. Mm-hmm. And the hospital and all the doctors and everybody was covering it up. And when I started doing the reading on that woman, I said she died from lack of oxygen. And it affected her heart, too. Mm-hmm. And there was a machine in the operating room that did not work properly. And the machine looks like this. That's hard evidence that doctor and that family was able to take to a lawyer. And they sued the hospital. And come to find out, not only had this girl died, but patients had been dying. Yes. And there was a law passed to get that machine out of the operating rooms. Okay?
Right.
So that's hard evidence that was picked up, okay, from the other side. You know who told me that and showed me that? The dead woman.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That, she was a scientist.
Yeah. No, that's great. And mediums have been doing that very successfully for a very long time. I was thinking more like developing a machine where you can communicate.
Well, trying to do that now where you can talk to them. I don't know that much about it. I know you've probably heard of it. Machines where you can hear people talking, but I don't know that much about it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a scientist that was with the, he used to work with the University of, was it Arizona or somewhere by, or Phoenix or something like that.
University. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, he's developing the soul phone. I think his name is Robert Swanson or something. I'm not sure. Anyhow, it's been a long time since I read that article, but yeah, that would be kind of cool, you know, but at the same time, you know, I think if the mystery is taken out of it, it might affect us in a negative way.
Well, some things, you know, there's faith and you have to go with what you feel and sense and your intuition, and that's a knowingness. Yeah. And in fact, you have clairvoyance, which is seeing it. Mm-hmm. You have clairaudience, which is hearing it. There is one actually called claircognizance, and it's a clear knowing. And some things you just know. And it comes from your gut. You know, you hear, trust your gut.
Mm-hmm.
You can't identify that. It's not like black and white. It's like something you can't see. You just feel it. But it's real.
Today I was watching the Olympics and I watched the American women's team lose to Australia to go on to the gold round. And it went to a shoot-off. And I think it was sixth shot, and the American was shooting. The Australians made all six shots, so, you know, the Americans had to catch up. And I knew it. I just knew it before the last shot that she was going to make it. I just 100%, and she didn't. It's just a weird thing, you know, gut feel, and it proved out to be right, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, Steve Jobs was a big believer in that, trusting your gut and trusting your intuition. So was Oprah Winfrey. That's how she started her show.
Yeah, you know what his last words were?
No.
Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, he was one of those that, I mean, he was ill. He had the pancreatic cancer, which is
yes.
Sentence. I mean, if Jobs can't get out of it with all of his money, nobody can. But anyways, he, on his deathbed, like right before he crossed over, those are the last words he said. So he must have, like, a veil must have opened up right at that time. And it's pretty common knowledge. I think, you know, most of our listeners know about that. But yeah, that's what he said. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Three times.
That's pretty much the way it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So what's hard is being a human and being alive.
We're pretty brave. We're brave souls for incarnating, because we're restricted here. Our consciousness is restricted, some more than others. Like, I think mediums have a less restricted consciousness. That's why you can communicate. But our reducing valve brains, you know, like mine, I'll get a gut feeling once in a while. I do not claim to be a medium or anything like that. I'm just fascinated.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's true. And it doesn't matter if there's a black and white experiment, because you know what your gut is telling you. So, you know, if I watch a television show with my husband, he's been doing this for the last 20 years, about 10 minutes before the show ends or comes to a conclusion, mm-hmm. I'm just merely watching along. He'll say, well, this is going to happen and blah, 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 blah. Oh, watch out. This guy. And sure enough, it happens every time. He's got about a 10-minute, it's not a delay, it's an advance warning of what's going to happen.
Well, I should sit beside him at the next lottery drawing. Well, you know, it's too late. The tickets, you know, they go on sale like an hour before. They stop selling like an hour before. But we got to find a loophole. We got to be rich. I'm kidding.
I have used it on lottery drawings before. I haven't done it in a long time, about 20 or 30 years I haven't done it. But I have won money with those gut feels. So. Nice. And I used to use it when I was a day trader. Honestly, I used to use it every time I did a trade. Okay.
Wow.
I could feel the direction it was going to move.
That you just revealed. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I could see it. I could see the chart. You know how they graph it? I could see which way it was going to go.
Which way, huh? Oh, no kidding. That's great.
And I tell you what, I was doing a psychic fair one time when I first started. It was in Dallas, and a lady came up to my table and she said, I just wanted to tell you, I used to do what you did, but I don't do it anymore. I trust the market. And I said, well, I trade it now. I trade it too, in addition to doing this.
Oh, yeah. Well, remember how the market took a tumble 2 years ago? You probably saw that coming. You saw that.
With the market. Yeah, I'll tell you, when I started doing this, I quit playing the market. I quit playing the market when computers, I used to do everything by hand calculate everything, plus use my intuition and my knowledge of the market movements. But when they started using computers and algorithms, I don't think I can outsmart a computer. So I don't play it anymore. So, I don't do that.
This hour has flown by. I mean, we didn't
know. Oh, yeah.
Questions. That's okay. I'll just hit it the next show. It's not a big deal. But this whole thing of you being able to see the afterlife really, really fascinates me.
Well, it's wonderful. And it's, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow.
Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. Well,
yeah,
put. Those are
right.
Great ending words. Very good. Okay. Well, let me plug your website again. Nancy Marlowe, M-A-R-L-O-W-E. LOWE.com. And you said you have a special button on there for anybody that wants to get a hold of you. Can you remind them?
It just says contact Nancy or contact me. It's a big blue button.
Blue button, contact Nancy. Okay, well, there you go. All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today, and we're very grateful for your insight. And
you're welcome. I enjoyed talking with you.
I enjoyed so much talking with you too, Nancy. Thank you very much, and I'm sure we'll talk again. Okay.
Yes. Good night.
Take care and stay safe.
You too.
Okay. Good night, everybody.